BBC headlines take us up to 4 minutes past 8 o'clock here at Community Radio, listener supported KGNU. Good morning. I'm Maeve Conran and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, we'll ask what a foreign policy could look like through a feminist lens. The One Earth Future Foundation in Broomfield has a programme, Our Secure Future, Women Make the Difference. We'll hear this morning from the leader of that programme who's going to be speaking tomorrow in Boulder on that issue of a feminist foreign policy. What would a foreign policy look like through a feminist lens? The One Earth Future Foundation in Broomfield has a programme, Our Secure Future, Women Make the Difference. The leader of that programme is Sahana Jampuri. She was an independent gender advisor on gender, peace and security issues to USAID, NATO, the Swedish Armed Forces and the United States Institute for Peace, as well as other international development organisations. And she's going to be speaking tomorrow morning in Boulder at the monthly interface programme, asking, what does a feminist foreign policy look like?
We know that there's a lot of legislation. There are many mandates, international treaties about women's rights and political participation. But we also know that for some reason it's not working. We don't have enough representation of women. We don't use a gender perspective. So we view that as a governance problem, because that means that the stakeholders involved, civil society, women's groups, are not able to interact with government institutions such as the military or the State Department or foreign assistance programs in order to help better implement the policies and the laws that we have and our vision of a more equal world and women's voices. So that's an example of how we work with we try to achieve that mission of peace through governance.
Well, we're coming up on the centenary of the women's right to vote here, actually, in the US. And there's a lot of discussion about what it means to have women in political realms, not just being able to vote, but being able to fully participate by running for office, being in leadership positions. So we're 100 years into this here in the US, but how are we doing globally in terms of women's involvement in these issues?
Well, we're still lagging in women's participation globally in parliaments and in their communities. We recently did a global poll last year, partnering with World Pulse, an online community of 60,000 grassroots women, and also the Women's Alliance for Security Leadership, which is another women-led organization. It's slightly different. It's a collection of 70 women-led organizations from the Middle East and North Africa region. There's also some from Latin America that focus on countering violent extremism in their communities. And we asked them the question of, how do you define security? Because what we realized is there is very low women's participation in political conversation and debate. And we also see that the policymaking that happens with the best intentions in government institutions is created in the government capital or in the MC or the state or the policy institution, and then it's implemented, but we never really have asked women, how does it impact you? Is this really working? Is this how you define security? What are actually your needs? And we had some very surprising results from that poll. I sort of anticipated that we would hear women uniformly saying that they have a different view on what security is. But we didn't expect so much consistency across the board with these two very different groups to say, we define security as being the ability to send our kids to school, to have livelihoods, to have clean water, to have a functioning society, to walk freely at night without the fear of being attacked or of sexual violence. So it was very interesting that they were really redefining security and what does it really mean. And I think if we can really get that message across to decision makers and policymakers, that will really help them reorient their policymaking to make it more effective, because we're all taxpayers. We put money into the government system so that it can do good work in this country and to help others in other places. But if we're not making decisions with the full picture and all the information and all taking into account all the people impacts, we're not going to get the best results.
But we're talking about women in the context of security. And I think a lot of times when we have these discussions, certainly at a global level about what security means, we're often talking about security between countries, you know, war, various different things like that. But from what I'm hearing from you, from what you heard from those women who participated in the survey, a lot of it is very much in a personal level. Am I free to walk down the street without being attacked? Can I send my children to school in peace? So is there a big disconnect from the policies that we're seeing being enacted by countries when it comes to the security concerns that women around the world actually are feeling, mm-hmm. as opposed to the policies that we're seeing in the context of security?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that this is one of the hallmarks of the women's movement for the last 20 years on this issue of women and peace and security, is that 20 years ago, or let's say 19, we're coming upon the 20th anniversary next year in 2020, women from around the world in different conflict zones pressured the UN the UN Security Council to actually examine the impact of their security decision making and brought forward their experiences of how peacekeeping plays out in communities and how sometimes it actually creates more insecurity for women at a deeply personal level, even though it's an international peacekeeping mission supporting an international peace negotiation process.
Are right? you talking about maybe sexual violence?
Yes. Often seen? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sexual violence, trafficking in persons, etc. They also brought up the issue that women are not participating equally in peace process negotiations. And in fact, since 1990 up until we have the data until 2017, 92% of the negotiators for those peace agreements were men. But we also know from the data that when we use a gender equality perspective on these issues and we include women's participation in reaching these peace agreements, there's actually a 70% chance that the peace will hold for 20 years. Compare that to the data that says the agreements in which women are left out of, those peace agreements fail 50% of the time within 5 years. So do the math. Right? Like, if we know that the participation of women and this principle of equality is put at the center of how we solve problems, that we will get better results for everybody, better security for everybody, we should be doing that.
And how do we change that paradigm, particularly in conflict zones and countries where women are already marginalized in society? They don't necessarily have full participation just on a basic societal level, let alone at a political level. I mean, how do we change that?
Yeah, so there's a lot happening on the ground in different countries and conflict zones led by women's movements. And also there's a lot happening at the very high policy level of new introduction of policy frameworks and laws. So a great example of how these two come together is there are now about 80 or more countries that have adopted national action plans on women, peace, and security. And the way that those plans are developed is through the participation of local women civil society peace builders in conversation with security actors and government actors who identify areas that they can work in. And there's usually four or five areas. It's working on women's participation in peace negotiations, issues of peacekeeping, prevention of conflict, addressing relief and recovery issues. And then often there's a piece about what governments can do better internally to either, say, train their people inside the institutions to be able to use a gender analysis as a skill set, which includes both talking to women and consulting with local women's organizations as much as they consult with anyone else about understanding the problem and also applying this social analysis skill set to make sure everyone's voices are included and experiences are included when they start thinking about how do we solve these problems.
Sahani Jampuri will speak tomorrow morning in Boulder at 11:30 a.m. and that is happening at the Boulder Jewish Community Center as part of the monthly Interface program. You can find out more about tomorrow's event at interfaceboulder.org. But you can find more about Sahana's work at her website, and that's oursecurefuture.org. And once again, she has worked in their Women Make the Difference, Our Secure Future program, and that's part of the One Earth Future Foundation, and they are in Broomfield.